ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text, chapter 23, text 17, Devahuti's Lamentation. So for the last few days, today is the 17th shloka, and this chapter is being discussed. Now we have come to the point where Kardamba Muni Maharaj has become very pleased by the seva and tapasya, the austerity and samarpan. Samarpan means surrender. No seva or tapasya can be done unless a person is completely surrendered, surrenders himself to the supremacy of the one who he is serving. So with that mood, Mother Devahuti has served her husband and a great sage and a devotee of the Lord. And now it is time for the devotee to reward her for her service according to her desires. So we will read. Tatra tatra vinikshipta.
Tatra tatra vinikshipta.
Tatra tatra vinikshipta.
Tatra tatra vinikshipta.
Nana shilpo pashobhitam.
Nana shilpo pashobhitam.
Mahamara katas sthalya.
Mahamara katas sthalya.
Justam vidruma vedibhim.
Justam vidruma vedibhim.
Tatra tatra vinikshita.
Tatra tatra vinikshita.
Nana shilpo pashobhitam.
Nana shilpo pashobhitam.
Mahamarkata sthalya.
Mahamarkata sthalya.
Jushtam vidurma vedibhi.
Jushtam vidurma vedibhi.
Tatra tatra. Here and there.
Here and there.
Vinikshipta.
Vinikshipta.
Placed.
Placed.
Nana.
Nana.
Various.
Various.
Shilpa.
Shilpa.
By artistic engravings.
Upashobhitam.
Upashobhitam. Extraordinarily beautiful.
Extraordinarily beautiful.
Mahamarkata.
Mahamarkata.
Of great emeralds.
Of great emeralds.
Thalya,
with the floor,
Jushtam,
furnished,
Vidurma,
Vidruma,
of coral,
Vedibhi,
with raised platforms, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Its beauty was enhanced by artistic engravings here and there on the walls. The floor was emerald. The floor was of emerald with coral daisies. Its beauty was enhanced. Please repeat. Its beauty was enhanced. By artistic engravings.
By artistic engravings.
Here and there.
Here and there.
On the walls.
On the walls.
The floor was of emerald.
The floor was of emerald.
With coral daisies.
With coral daisies.
Purport. At the present moment, people are very proud of their architectural art. Yet floors are generally decorated with colored cement. It appears, however, that the castle constructed by the yogic powers of Kardamba Muni had floors of emerald with coral daisies. Mukham karoti vachalam angulam devim tat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatayinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram namo vishnu padaya krishna vishthaya vidale shri mate bhakti vedanta swami nidinami namaste saraswati devam gauravani prasharane nirvishesha shunyavadi prasuta So, Srila Prabhupada has delineated the different purposes of ISKCON movement, and in which one of them is to be able to decipher, to be able to tell the faults of materialism. And as we can see, Srila Prabhupada, any opportunity he gets in his teachings, in his purports, as he is pointing out always the glorification of the Supreme Lord and the glories of spiritual life, the benefits of spiritual life, so also Srila Prabhupada is very alert in telling us and telling the world the shortcomings of material advancement. Here also, Srila Prabhupada is very quickly pointing out how shallow the advancement of materialistic people is. We are very proud of our tall buildings. We are very proud that we are making wonderful constructions. But Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here that even though our architect's art is so elaborate, but our floors are made of mere cement. There is no beauty in it. There is no preciousness in the work that we are doing. And yet, we deny the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are very quick in declaring our supremacy, the supremacy of human advancement, over those that are connected to God, over those that have received powers due to their connection and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a very nice story in the recent times, only 500 years ago. I'm not sure if I have mentioned it, because the last 15 days, so many opportunities are being given to speak to the same audience morning and evening, and I only have a very limited amount of knowledge, so repetition is definitely there. I do not remember what I have said where. However, when spiritual katha is told and retold, the katha may be the same, but the listeners and the speaker, they both are always grasping new emotions, new spiritual understanding from the same katha. And therefore, it always feels very new, it is always very nourishing to the soul. So, in the time of King Akbar, who was only 400 to 500 years ago, I think he was after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately after, soon after. And he was a very rustic person, and he had so many wonderful artists in his court in Agra. The best of artisans, the best of painters, the best of musicians, poets, people who came and glorified him in court with so many wonderful poetries. So they were called nine ratnas, the nine greatest jewels available in the world were all present in his court. And one of those nine jewels was this great singer, a classical singer, and his name was Tan Sen. Thank you. His name was Tan Sen. He was a great classical singer. He could, with his singing, he had the ability to be able to melt stone. He would sing in front of a piece of marble, and with his singing, with his tan, the classical tunes, he was able to melt the marble. So one day, being very pleased with Tan Sen's singing, Akbar, in his excitement, he said, "I am the luckiest and the greatest of all the kings because I have a singer like you, the best in the world, in my court, singing for my pleasure." And immediately Tan Sen, he put his head down and he said, "My dear Lord, my dear King, please, this kind of statement and credit that you are giving me, I cannot tolerate." And he was crying. So Akbar became very inquisitive. He said, "What is the matter? Is there somebody else superior than you that you know?" And Tan Sen said, "Yes, my lord. My dear king, there is, and that is my guru. He lives in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very close to Agra. At that time, Vrindavan was called Fakirabad, because all the fakirs in the Muslim language, the ascetics are called fakir. So the Muslim kings, they used to call Vrindavan Fakirabad. Only great ascetics, tapasvis, devotees of the Lord, they lived in Vrindavan. It was a complete forest, not like today." So he said, "Yes, my guru, he lives in Fakirabad, and he is actually much better than me. Whatever I know today, it is all his gift and giving to me." So Akbar, being a great rasik of music, he said, "I definitely want to hear him sing." He said, "He will never sing for you." He said, does he not have any fear of death?" He said, "He never fears death. He only sings for his Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of all the Lords, the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. He sings for his deity in Vrindavan." So he said, "But I must hear his singing. How can we make this possible?" Tan Sen said, "The only way we can make it possible is if you become my khawasi." Khawasi is a person who carries luggage. He's like a servant. And that was quite a statement for such a great emperor, to become a servant of the singer in order to go to Vrindavan and approach this great guru of Tan Sen. His name was Swami Haridas Thakur. By his devotion, Haridas Thakur had manifested the deity of Banke Bihari, and the deity is Radha and Krishna both joined as one. And the deity was manifested by his devotion in Nidhiban. So anyway, he agreed and they both went to Vrindavan. He was dressed as a coolie carrying the Tanpura of Tan Sen. And when they entered Nidhiban, Haridas Thakur was sitting there. It was summertime. There were no clouds at all. It was very warm. When he saw his disciple coming, he asked the reason for his coming. And Tan Sen said, "Gurudev, I have forgotten one raga. I cannot quite get it." He was kind of lying. He said, "I cannot get this raga very nicely, so I have come to ask you for help. If you can please show me how this raga is to be played and sung." It was called Rag Malahar. So Tan Sen gave the Tanpura to his Gurudev, and Haridas Thakur immediately tuned it and started to sing and to show. Akbar was sitting there dressed as a coolie right next to Tan Sen. And he was singing. As he was singing, it was summer afternoon and the clouds came from nowhere. Rag Malahar has the potency to bring rain. In the Vedic classical singing, there are timings as to when you sing a particular rag, and you sing accordingly. There are morning ragas, evening ragas, afternoon ragas, in order to make the mood of that particular time and enhance it. So he was singing this rag at a very wrong time. It was rag Malahar, to be sung during the rainy season when the clouds are there. But by his singing, the clouds just appeared from nowhere. And the singing was so good. The king, of course, he was very knowledgeable in classical singing, and immediately he forgot that he was dressed as a coolie, a servant of Tansen, in that entire ecstasy of hearing this wonderful singing. And he went, bah, bah, like a king. And that was it. Then the guru, he knew that this man is not what he appears to be. So anyway, King Akbar came to Tansen and he said, I'm sorry, but I am the king of Agra. And he said, yes, I can understand. And you've come here by deceit to hear my singing. Anyway, now you've heard it. Now you go. And he said, no, I wish to do some seva. But he said it with that mood of king, because he's so rich and an emperor. He said, I want to serve you. Please give me some seva. Hardas Thakur was able to see the vanity in his speech. Even though he's asking for seva, he's asking from the platform of a king, and the king is thinking, I can do something, some charity I can give to this fakir, this ascetic who's sitting here. Maybe he will ask me for money or for food or something. And Hardas Thakur said, no, I don't need any seva. I am very satisfied the way I am. You please go. And he said, no, you must give me seva. I'm asking you. I do not ask this of anyone. No one refuses me. So Hardas Thakur wanted to teach him a lesson and also wanted to be merciful to this person, because he saw there was an element of sincerity for him coming to Vrindavan and having respect for the ascetics. So he said, okay, I go every morning to take bath in the Jamuna to Keshi Ghat. It is very close to Nidhivan. And I have noticed that there is a corner of Keshi Ghat. The steps are broken. So that one corner where the steps are broken, you please repair it for me. So Akbar felt very bad. I am such a big king. He could have asked me for anything. And he's giving me such a small seva to repair a corner of a step so that he can walk properly to the Jamuna. Anyway, out of respect, he didn't say anything. And he went to Keshi Ghat just to see what is the step he is talking about. When he went there, Hardas Thakur, out of his spiritual potency and compassion for this living entity, now the story is related to Kadamba Muni and what is being discussed here. Out of his spiritual potency and at the same time compassion for the living entity, for King Akbar, he out of his potency gave King Akbar for a very short period of time spiritual vision. And with that vision, as Akbar was examining the broken step, he actually saw that the step was made of the greatest priceless jewels and gems and emeralds and pearls. Something that he had never seen in his life, what to speak of possessing them. So such is the potency of those who apparently live as paupers and poor people, living in the forests, worshipping the Lord. And the materialist, he does not understand the capacity of those who become connected in devotion and service, in tapasya and austerity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They get the same potency, only that they do not exhibit it. So many times Srila Prabhupada was asked, by press reporters, outside people, even by his own disciples. Swamiji, you have any miracles to show? You must have some spiritual power. And Srila Prabhupada was always, he was remaining humble. He said, no, I am just chanting Hare Krishna. One time his disciples, they asked, Srila Prabhupada, please, you must tell us. And very humbly he said, you can bring 100 most beautiful young women in front of me. I will not be agitated. That is my spiritual potency. But in Srila Prabhupada's leelas, so many of us, we have heard, so many spiritual miracles he showed. So many miracles. He foretold the future. So many times he gave us sparkles of understanding that Srila Prabhupada had all these siddhis that yogis have, other spiritual people have, but out of humility they do not exhibit. So when Akbar, he saw the spiritual potency of this yogi, of this great bhakta devotee, he came back and fell at his feet. And he told in great humility, he said, my dear yogi, my dear sadhu, you please give me seva, but you give me seva according to my capacity. You have given me seva that is beyond my capacity. I have no capacity to repair this steps that you've asked me to repair. So in that humility and understanding the supremacy of the devotee of the Lord, then the kripa came. Tat vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, in order to understand this great science that I am so freely giving it to you here in the battlefield, it is only one qualification is required. Tat vidhi pranipatena. If you want to know this vidhi of how to achieve me, how to understand spiritual topics, how to make advancement, how to have the eyes to be able to see that I am permeating in my universal form everywhere and everything. Everything in this material world is not beyond my control. You must pranipatena. You must surrender yourself completely and full-heartedly and sincerely. Then only upadakshanti te jnanam. Then the guru, the acharya, the one who has possesses the power, he will be able to very simply give it to you. Upadakshanti te jnanam. Jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Darshanaha means he will manifest it in front of your very eyes. You will be able to experience it. So these are the lessons. This wonderful palace that is being created for the purpose of procreation, for the purpose of fulfilling the desire of Devahuti, is only an after effect. The real cause that brought the blessings to Devahuti of receiving, of conceiving a child from a great Mahatma like Kartamba Muni was her tapasya, was her sincere seva. And both of her seva and tapasya, it originated from her faith. From her faith, her true faith, that here is a great Mahatma, even though I have the life and upbringing of a princess, and I could very easily marry another prince, another king, and live such an opulent, wonderful life. But she chose to be the wife and a servant of an ascetic, a tapasvi, with very stringent conditions that the tapasvi, the devotee, Kardamba Muni, would give her up in the middle of her life, would give her a son and walk away into his tapasya, and she would be left alone. Even those conditions, they were favorable to her because she herself was a spiritual seeker. So a person who is on the path of seeking spiritual life must be very prepared to give up materialism and be prepared to take up to the conditions that is put in his life in front by the great acharyas, the tapasvis, the gurus. In the same analogy, Srila Prabhupada came into our lives, into our countries, wanting to teach us vairagya, tapasya, austerity, running away from sense gratification, from accumulation of materialism. These are the siddhantas that Srila Prabhupada has brought in his hands to offer to us. But at the same time, for those with faith have surrendered to Srila Prabhupada in whatever capacity to come to his lotus feet, to ultimately achieve all these austerities and renunciation from the material world, at the same time Srila Prabhupada, with his mystic potency, for those surrendered souls has manifested these great palaces. Look at this temple. When I walk out of this temple, I look at the homes, and devotees tell me, Prabhuji, these homes are many millions of dollars, and they look like pigeonholes to me. They're so small, you go inside, you cannot even. And they are worth $2-3 million. Your whole life you have to be a slave of the bank from whom you take the loan, and be afraid and fearful that your job may not be lost. So in 35 years, by the time you're old, you'll be able to pay off this pigeonhole. But a devotee, simply by surrendering to the instructions of the Mahatma, he comes and look at this. Does anybody have a living room like this? We have to see things as they are. This is what gives us nishtha. We must connect the Srimad Bhagavatam to our very lives that is happening. How Srimad Bhagavatam is playing a role in our lives today. We are getting the same benefit that is being given by Kardamba Muni to Devahuti. It is being given so easily by Srila Prabhupada to wretched souls like us, only because of a little surrender to Srila Prabhupada, his instructions. The food we eat, the wonderful areas that we have, the association we have, we are all family members. How wonderful family members we have. How wonderful people we get to live with. What spacious rooms we have. Look at the feast that we get to our eyes every morning. Who gets to see each of these clothings that are being adorned on the deities every morning? Even from material standards, they were $5,000 to $7,000 each. Do you ever get to see a woman or a man wearing a $5,000 suit? We get to see every day, twice a day, beautiful dressing, beautiful garlands, mukut, scents, incense. Every sense of ours is completely ecstatic by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He has given us this. But yet at the same time, we can compare and see there are thousands of people out there, those who do not give any heed, any attention to the Mahatma, to Srila Prabhupada, they are bereft of this. There are people living in walking distance from this temple for the last 40 years. They do not even know such pleasure, such ecstatic existence is available in the vicinity of their life. Only because they do not want to inquire. They do not want to open themselves to the mercy that is available, given by this great Mahatma, Srila Prabhupada. So in the same way, Devahuti, at a young age, being a princess, she was able to understand the benefits of spiritual advancement. And the only way a living entity can make advancement is in association and seva and surrender. Association, seva and surrender. These are the three factors that brings the mercy of the great devotees of the Lord to an ordinary living entity. When he surrenders himself with good intelligence and then he develops a quality of seva, he receives a great benediction, and that benediction is association. He is facilitated with association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all his servants and great Mahatmas and yogis like Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's followers. So we must keep in mind that Srila Prabhupada, he knew very well, he was very clear about what he was going to give to the world. He wanted to give tapasya, he wanted to give vairagya, he wanted to give knowledge of spiritual life, he wanted to give to us the understanding that materialism is not something to run for. It is spiritual life that we should be after. But at the same time, he decorated all that in order to impregnate the idea, in order to impregnate the Supreme Personality of Godhead into our hearts. Srila Prabhupada worked day and night. He took a risk of taking all these amazing properties. Him and his disciples, what situation they must have gone through when they were just out on the street selling incense and books and candles and paintings like mere hawkers in order to acquire these properties and facilities so that thousands of us could be attracted to come here, could be facilitated. But ultimately the goal of Prabhupada is to impregnate the love of Godhead into our hearts. Impregnate vairagya from this material world, not to become attached to it. Impregnate this knowledge that this material world is not a place to live in. So such high philosophy and high thoughts are to be given by such gurus and mahatmas, but they are being given in a different way, so it is palatable for us to take. The thousands and thousands of people who are taking food every day from our Crossways and Govindas, and so much food distribution is going on all over the world. It is not mere food. Those who are buying it or those who are receiving it are thinking the Hare Krishnas are giving very nice, clean and inexpensive food. But they do not know in the garb of that facility, Srila Prabhupada is impregnating Krishna into their hearts. He is impregnating Sukriti, Punya, which is very much lacking in the human beings of today. And through the medium of Prasad, through the medium of the sound vibration kirtan, through the medium of devotees, temples, facilities, books, knowledge, so many different aspects of facilities are being provided by the present day acharya for us to take up to Krishna consciousness in a very serious manner and then become soldiers of his army. We should also be thinking in the same mood as Srila Prabhupada and working towards the same mission for whom Srila Prabhupada, for the reason he came here to the Western countries. And that would be somewhat of a payoff to the indebtedness of Srila Prabhupada that he has given us these wonderful qualities and facilities. So in the end, today is my last day. I go tomorrow. I'm going to Sydney and then back to Vrindavan. I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your wonderful association, for the seva that you're doing as missionaries of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful mission in Kali Yuga, dedicating your lives, using the priorities of your life to serve such a wonderful philosophy and mission of benefiting society at large in whatever capacity you are able to help. My only request is that may the Lord give us blessings so that we can become doubly enthusiastic and committed in our mission in life of serving such a great Mahatma, Srila Prabhupada. Service is an inherent quality of every living entity. Please note, I am older than you in age and I have seen it and tested it. Never ever we will be free from service. Even in the moments when we are enjoying our senses, in actuality we are only serving those rascal senses that never become satiated, that never become satisfied, that are never thankful for whatever you do for them. So please let us try to understand the nature of our senses, the nature of our cruel mind, the nature of our false ego, and try not to serve it, but rather try to serve the desires and the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And this is the only way we can become sober and intelligent in our way of life, and by that wealth we will be able to give to other people also. Because the world is listening to us, yes, but more than the world is listening to us, they are watching us. The world is watching us. You know, there is a saying that children have very big eyes, but they have very small ears. They don't listen to instructions, but they are constantly watching. They imitate their parents. They imitate their elders because their eyes are very big. So the people of the world are also compared to such children. They are children in their knowledge of spiritual life. They may not follow us, they don't want to listen to our instructions, but definitely be very sure that the material people are watching us. They are watching, they are looking, they are also suffering, they are also to some extent feeling their suffering, and they are looking where they can mitigate their suffering. They are watching how ecstatic we can be in our devotional life, and when they see us in ecstasy, they will come and inquire. Because they want that ecstasy. What a living entity is looking for in this world is an ecstasy. So if we cannot become ecstatic or exhibit ecstatic symptoms in our devotional life, we will never be able to attract the people of the material world. And this is the reason why the entire process from morning to night is given to us to become ecstatic in our devotional life. So thank you very much. It's been a wonderful 2 weeks. I do not know where the 2 weeks went. And so many of you gave me the opportunity, very enthusiastically you congregated, to hear whatever little bit I have to say from the assimilation of my understanding of Krishna consciousness and experiences in life. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any questions, any comments we can take for a few minutes and then we will conclude? Yes, Haridas Thakur's whole sampradaya is there. It's called Haridasi Sampradaya. And that is connected with Banke Bihari temple. Teachings of Haridas Thakur are there, songs are there, poetry is there. There's a very nice 2 lines that I had kind of memorized of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur used to offer wonderful bhoga to his deity Banke Bihari. Wonderful cooking and bhoga he would offer. But then after offering, he would call saintly people and distribute it and never eat it himself. For himself, he would eat some chana, and that's how he did bhajan. Some chickpeas he would eat and some water, and he did bhajan like that. So one day, the deity Banke Bihari spoke to him. He said, listen, you're offering me this food, but you are not taking my mahaprasad. You are making offense to me. See, this is the give and take of the Lord with his devotees. The Lord wanted, he was doing it because of his tapasya. He had sankalpa, he wanted to do tapasya. Just like Raghunath Das Thakur. Raghunath Das Ji was living in Radhakund, and every third day, twice a week, his disciple would bring him one dona, one leaf of buttermilk from a Brajbasi. That's all. Every third day he would take one cup full of buttermilk, and that's all he would take as his food. And he would do 22 hours of bhajan. In 2 hours he would clean his body, he would sleep, do everything. And 22 hours of bhajan, Raghunath Das Thakur was doing. And that's all he would take was one dona, and it was full of buttermilk from the home of a Brajbasi, he would drink it. So one day, the disciple, you know, disciples are also very clever and dedicated to the Guru Maharaj. So disciple, he thought, my Guru Maharaj is taking so little food, and the dona is only this size. And the dona came from a certain village, where Srimati, from near Barsana area. So from there he would take. He was a great rasik of Srimati Radharani. So one day he brought the dona of buttermilk, but it was bigger in size. So he thought, this dona is very nice. It is bigger in size. My Gurudev will be able to take a little more buttermilk. So when he saw, he said, oh, this dona doesn't look like the same. Where have you brought this leaf from? He said, oh, I brought it from certain village. It is Chandravali's village, that one. So he threw it. He said, never give me anything from Chandravali's village. I only want from Radharani's village. So our acharyas are such rasiks. Chandravali is a competitor of Radharani. I want to have nothing to do with her. So in the same way, Hardas Thakur, he had his sankalpa, his tapasya. Sanatan Goswami Prabhupada, what a tapasvi he was. Every day, he would walk from Vrindavan to Govardhan. He would do entire Govardhan, 21 kilometer parikrama. And he would come back, and then he would take his first meal. So like this, for years and years he did, he became old. And Krishna appeared to him. He said, Sanatan, you become too old. It's too difficult. Can you imagine walking in all the seasons, winter, summer, everything, walking to Govardhan, doing the parikrama, coming back, and then taking some meal? He said, you become too old. You don't need to do this anymore. He said, my dear Lord, this is my vow. Till the day I die, no matter how difficult it is for my body, I will keep doing this. Because I have taken the vow of doing parikrama of Govardhan. And I live in Vrindavan, so what to do? And that is when Krishna manifested. Many of you who have been to Radha Damodar temple, you have seen that there is a stone about this size, and there is footmarks of Lord Krishna. Big, beautiful footmark. And one lakuti mark, his stick. And he gave his footmarks and the Govardhan Shila to Sanatana Goswami. And he said, you simply go around the Shila 4 times and that will be concluded as doing Govardhan Parikrama. I don't want you to go. Until today you can get darshan in Radha Damodar temple of that Shila is there. Any of you have seen? Yes. So nice. And you will see the devotees, they come and they do 4 parikrama. Some people even do Dandavati Parikrama of Radha Damodar temple, understanding that by the blessings of Sanatana Goswami, this parikrama is completed as Govardhan Parikrama. So our acharyas have performed great amount of tapasya. Raghunath Das Goswami every day would offer 2,000 obeisances to the holy dham in Radha Kund. Just meditating on the different places of the holy dham, he would offer 2,000 obeisances and 1,000 obeisances in his mind, but full dandabas, get out full of 1,000. Every day to the Brajbasis and the sadhus of Braj. So such tapasya they have performed. And with such tapasya, they have been able to attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So tapasya cannot be taken out of our lives. Sometimes people in my preaching say, what is this ekadasi? Is it necessary? Yes. Why Krishna becomes pleased when we don't eat? No. Krishna becomes pleased when we do tapasya. Tapasya, these are all different forms of tapasya. On the day of Ekadasi, we take a sankalpa. Today I will not eat grains. Even though grain is very important for my body, I like my chapatis and rice. I will not eat grains as my tapasya, as my offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what is pleasing to the Lord. So in the same way, Hardas Thakur, he had taken a vow never to eat very nice foodstuffs. But Krishna came in reciprocation. He said, hey, you are making an offense. You are offering me and not honoring my Mahaprasad. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, my dear Lord, if that's how you want to be, I will honor it. So he would cook the Mahaprasad, offer it to Krishna, bring the sadhus, and for himself he would take a stick, a little toothpick type of a stick, and he would go poop in one of the rice and he would take one. He said, I've honored it. Like that. Tendul ghirat arpit sham ko. This is his one very beautiful line. Tendul ghirat. Tendul is rice. And ghirat is ghee. So when we cook rice with lots of ghee and make it very flavorful, a great amount of flavor. So he is saying, Haridas Thakur, Tendul ghirat arpit sham ko. We cook this beautiful rice and ghee, but we offer it to sham. Tendul ghirat arpit sham ko sant paroso karto to naam to ram naam chit dharto. If you become such a vairagi and servitor that you offer wonderful foodstuffs to Krishna and then after that you distribute it to sant paroso karto, you give it to saintly people, with such vairagya what will happen to you? To ram naam chit dharto. Then your consciousness will be able to grasp the holy names of the Lord constantly. So vairagya is a very intrinsic part of our spiritual advancement. Two sons are there of bhakti. One is jnana and one is vairagya. Even Srila Prabhupada in Bengali wrote this book, Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya Vidya. So like this, Haridas Thakur was also a great tapasvi, a great vairagi, and with such tapasya he was performing and he was able to become so advanced in Krishna consciousness that this Akbar, I did not complete the story, the king, when he came in humility to Haridas Thakur and he said, you please offer me some seva to my capacity, then Haridas Thakur gave him blessings. He said, okay, you go back to your kingdom and you send chana, you send chickpeas for the birds and the monkeys of Braj. And that will be your greatest service. Such a small seva for a king to send. And for years together, even after Akbar died, that seva kept coming from the palaces of the Mughals. A huge amount of chana would come for the monkeys and more, and Khagapakshi of Braj Vrindavan. So precious are the birds and monkeys of Vrindavan that just by serving them you can make spiritual advancement. And Akbar after that used to keep coming and visiting Haridas Thakur. And one day he told him, he said, I have become very attached to you. I know you are a true saint. So I have taken a vow that without taking your darshan I will not put water in my mouth. So Haridas Thakur said, that's not possible. You live in Agra. How can you come every day to take my darshan? Don't take such a vow. But he was after all a king. He said, no, in that case, he said, I will not come to Agra with you. You cannot come here every day. Why are you taking such a vow? He said, in that case, I will have a picture made of you. And when I will offer my obeisances to the picture, take your darshan, and then I will take my first food. And he did that. And in the Muslim religion, it is banned to have a picture of either any Ishtar, any deity, or even your guru. There is no picture worship at all. But despite that, Akbar did this, and he kept a picture of Haridas Thakur in his palace that he would take darshan, and then he would eat his first meal. And in the association of Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur instructed him that there is one thing you should do for which you will definitely go to hell if you don't do. All the seva you are doing will be meaningless, and that is you must stop cow slaughter in your kingdom. And you know, 500 years ago when the Mughals were here, by the influence of a great Vaishnava devotee, he influenced Akbar to completely ban cow slaughter. You see. So our acharyas, they have protected with their mystic power, their potency, the exhibition of their powers, their spiritual powers, they have actually protected our Vedic culture. They have protected our philosophy. They have protected, given great protection to our dharma. And this is why when there is an advent of a great saintly person in our lives, somehow or the other we have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who is coming in the same parampara of all these great saintly people. He is carrying all the mercy and the potency of all the Vaishnavas. We must take true shelter of Srila Prabhupada and consistently always be with him. Not just taking shelter is not enough, but to actually dedicate our entire life in surrender and service to Srila Prabhupada, that is the important thing. It is not how you run the race that is important, it is how you end the race that is important. So we must all be very careful that we are here to end the race in Krishna consciousness at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, always having taken shelter and growing our shelter, our surrender to Prabhupada, our emotions, our sentiments, our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, his gifts, his teachings must always manifest in our heart more and more and more in appreciation of what he has given us. And that appreciation, as it increases, will become our inspiration to become more surrendered to the process that Srila Prabhupada has given of sadhana and seva. These two things are very important in Krishna consciousness. Sadhana and seva. So, yes, Prabhupada. That was Aurangzeb. Yeah, Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb was a great tyrant. He was a great tyrant and he was out to destroy Hindu dharma, Sanatan dharma. And he was the one who broke all the temples in Vrindavan. Govindadev Mandir, Madan Mohanji temple. He was going everywhere breaking Hindu temples. He had given instructions that 40 kilos of janeu, of Brahmin thread should be weighed in front of him. That means you can imagine how many thousands of Brahmins he was killing every day. He wanted 40 kilos of Brahmin threads after cutting the Brahmins to be weighed in front. Such an amazingly crazy person he was. Because of him, all the deities of Vrindavan left and went to Jaipur and Rajasthan, where the kings were fighters and they protected the deities. And they were not... The Mughals could not enter Jaipur because the way Jaipur is made, there is all mountains everywhere. And they could not enter. And all the deities went there. Now such a tyrant king, in the end, he went to Nathdwara. Because Srinathji was taken from Jatipura to Nathdwara. And he went after him to destroy that temple. When he went with his army to Nathdwara, his mother was with him. And his mother, when she entered Nathdwara in the vicinity of the temple, she was a bit of a yogic type of a spiritual person, an elderly. And she could sense that there is tremendous potency around here. So she told her son, don't disturb this temple. I'm feeling some fear here. Don't do anything. But Akbar, of course, he was a fanatic and he didn't listen to the mother. So he entered with a sword and everyone, all the pandas and pujaris, everybody was so afraid because he had this huge army. So as he entered the temple, he went alone to see this deity that his mother was describing, that he's very, very potent. And as he went to see the deity with a sword, he became blind, Aurangzeb. And then he realized, oh my God, what happened? Out of nothing I cannot see. So right there he prayed to the deity. He said, please, my mother has told me and I believe that you are a very potent personality. You give me my eyes back and I will stop my nonsense. I will never do this again. I will become your devotee. And he said with such sincerity that Lord Srinathji gave him his eyes back. And when he comes out of the temple, he had a long beard, this Aurangzeb. And the steps of the temple, as he came down, he was wiping, he was brooming the steps of the temple of Srinathji with his own beard, in humility, and in showing the supremacy of the deity Srinathji. And then he asked his subjects, he said, "You bring me my Shringasana," his king's throne. And there is a big court, for those of you who have been to Nathji temple. And right there in the court, he put the Shringasana and he sat as a king. And that's when he made that praman. And he put it on the door of Srinathji temple. He said, "Any Hindu or Muslim who tries to hurt or harm this temple and the deity, I will be his first enemy." Any Hindu or Muslim who tries to harm this deity or the property of this temple, I will be his first enemy. And he put that there. And then after that, in great humility, with his head down, he started to walk out of the temple. And his whole army was there. But when he's walking out, then the pandas became very strong. Said, "Oh, our deity Srinathji has shown some chamatkar, and this man has completely now become surrendered." So the same panda pujaris who were hiding in fear, they came out and they started to give him gali. Ma behen ki gali. Worst. You know, pandas, when they were giving him ma behen ki gali. And he took it. He did not say anything. He just took it as his atonement. Can you imagine a big king like that? You couldn't even look at him. Ordinary people were giving him ma behen ki gali. They were giving him curses and abuses to his face. And he took it and walked away from there. So history tells us, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. So many times Krishna, in his deity form, in his devotee form, in his saintly form, Krishna is again and again appearing, and he's showing us miracles and chamatkar, and he is saving. He's saving dharma. Krishna is saving. So right there, where this man was going to or was bent upon destroying the entire Sanatan Dharma, one deity, Srinathji, our Krishna, he showed this wonderful chamatkar and he completely captured this man. You see. So like this, so many stories are there to inspire us, to instill greater faith in what we do, in our service and surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness. They are constantly being manifested. Even in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, we can see the hand of Krishna in so many things. And we should seek to see. We should seek to see Krishna's hand in everything. That is Krishna consciousness. We should see how Krishna is orchestrating everything that is going on in our lives and around our lives. And then we remain peaceful. Then we remain peaceful. Surdas ji has said a wonderful thing. Ap bal tap bal aur bahu bal. Chautho bal hai dam. Sur kishor kripate sab bal. Hare ko harinam. Ap bal. Everyone has an experience of their own existence and the strength in their existence. Ap bal. Apna bal. Tap bal. The tapasya we performed. Whatever tapasya, in educational field, in doing your jobs, in doing your businesses, that is your tapabal. Apabal, tapabal, or bahubal. The strength that we feel in our own bodies. Chautho bal hai dam. The money, the support, the opulences that we have accumulated that give us some strength. And with these four strengths, we go on with our existence. The entire world is getting up in the morning and working. Why? Because everyone feels the strength. But a devotee, he very explicitly understands and moves forward to the realization of Sura Kishora Kripate Sababal. That all the strength, it is all coming from Kishora Kripa, from Sri Sri Krishna, from Kishora Kishori. He is the one who is awarding all the strength. Whether we are money people, whether we are very strong people, healthy people, successful people, all the strength is coming due to the mercy of the Lord. Whether we are devotees or non-devotees, everything is coming from Krishna. Suri Krishori Kripate Sababam. And then when the understanding like this manifests in our consciousness, what happens? Hare Ko Harina. That person says, my dear Lord, you are totally my in charge. I want to see you everywhere, in everything. In every moment of my life, you are present. This is the vision that should manifest in my heart. And such a person takes shelter of Harina. Such a person actually becomes a true devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. Sur Kishore Kripate Sababal Hare Ko Harina. So these little anecdotes are given by our acharyas in order to understand great amount and deep philosophy. Yes, Prabhuji. That's it. Okay. Thank you very much once again, and we will see you another time. Maybe Krishna willing, would love to come and associate with you more and be able to share our experiences and emotions with all the wonderful devotees that reside here in Sri Sri Mahaprabhu Dham. Please, with great enthusiasm and great cooperation with each other, this is very much needed. Srila Prabhupada, at the end of his life, when devotees were crying because Prabhupada was departing, he's made one statement. He said, you are all crying because you love me, but your love for me will manifest by how well you cooperate with each other. You just empty love you is not good enough. If you really love me, you cooperate with each other. And that will be your gift to me. Your manifestation of your love to me is to show your cooperation with each other. So we have to cooperate in Kali Yuga. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. The Shastra says, in Kali Yuga, the Shakti comes in Sangha, in cooperation, in teamwork. So we should all cooperate. We have a wonderful mission ahead of us. We have two missions. One is to become purified and spiritualized ourselves, and then to give that to the entire world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.